Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12 tonight. I'd like you to stand with me, please, as we read a couple of verses that I believe will help us to focus our attention on this truth tonight. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 14. The Bible says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently." If you're in the habit of marking your Bibles, I would encourage you to mark under that word, looking diligently. Anytime we're commanded or encouraged to do something strongly, I want to take notice. And boy, especially here, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he should have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And I believe tonight we find an example of what the Bible is referring to here, remembering grace. In other words, a grace to be able to understand the past, but yet look to the future. And grace is great in that way to help us to be able to deal with things that have gone on in the past, but yet to be able to face what we have coming in the future. I believe this is a great illustration of that. Let's look at that tonight and ask the Lord to bless. Lord, would you bless your word? And once again, Lord, I feel very inadequate to be able to share and express, Lord, as I ought, the depth of grace that you have given to us. Lord, we just want to explore it together through the words of God that are enough. But Lord, I pray that you would teach us, Holy Spirit, in our hearts how we might apply that. Thank you for the grace of God. And Lord, we thank you for the fact that it is available to us. And I pray tonight that you might use your word and strengthen us as we grow in this grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated tonight. Our text, really, we find a theme of remembering. I didn't read down through all the verses that we're going to look at tonight, but we find there is a theme of remembrance. And I need to remind you tonight that God, through the book of Hebrews, the author, inspired by God, is reminding the Jews, reminding the Israelites about some things, and he is warning them about some things. If you remember that a lot of the book of Hebrews is about the Lord Jesus being better and being greater than the Old Testament law, and the author has established here that those that were Jews and they were Christians and they were going on for the Lord, that's the context of here. Hebrews is written to Hebrew Christians, Jews that have been saved, they've trusted the Lord. And the danger was, with that kind of a culture, to be dragged back into the Old Testament Judaism and to really begin once again to try to follow the law in order to obtain grace. And the author here, and I'm being very careful not to say Paul, although I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, but I find the author is giving Hebrews here, giving the Jews a reminder about some very important things. And they were not in the habit of remembering the power of God that had saved them. You see, they had been saved and they trusted in Jesus, but yet that old law and that old culture had such a drag on them that they need to be reminded of some things. And praise the Lord that God's grace is sufficient for that. And man, what a blessing for this group of people to be reminded of the power and the purposes of God. I want to tell you tonight that when we read in verse 15 that we look diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, I want to just clarify that that doesn't mean that God's grace will fail us or that somehow we will fall from that grace. I need to remind you tonight that God's grace will never fail you. God's grace will always be sufficient. It will always be enough to accomplish what God is trying to do in your life. It will never fail, but I'll tell you tonight, the failing comes often when we fail to appropriate and we fail to access God's grace in any given situation. And oftentimes we get in situations where we just feel overwhelmed. We feel that we can't do this. I don't have the strength. I don't have the will. I don't even have the desire to want to do these things. And I want to say tonight, that's not a problem with God's grace. That's a problem with us failing to appropriate God's grace rightly in our lives. And so we find here a couple reminders to us. But I want to remind you tonight that we cannot receive the strength of grace, the abilities of grace. We cannot have the power of grace in our lives when we fail to remember the things that He's reminding us of here as well. You know, there's a way that we can be hindered in God's grace in our lives. It happens. And we get into a situation where we just feel like, man, I don't have it. It's just not here. I don't have God's strength. I can't do it. And other times we feel like, man, I'm ready to go. God's given me grace in the situation and I've struggled, but God has come through for me and it's just a wonderful thing. I'm just saying, where is the problem there? And I think we find it given to us in Scripture here. And we're reminded to come back and to rest in the grace of God as Paul is reminding the Hebrews here. And I want to just take you, if I can, through three thoughts tonight that give us, I think, this matter of reminding a reminder of God's grace in this grace for remembering. If you would, in verse 15, notice once again, there is a reminder in verse 15 to forgive. My friend tonight, if we're going to have the grace of God that's accessible to us in our lives, you must remember to forgive. Notice again, verse number 15, the Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I take you back to verse 14 that says this, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Tonight I want you to remember, church, that in order for us to access the grace of God, we must remember to forgive. You see, tonight you will not be able to grow in grace as long as there is unforgiveness in our heart. As long as a root of bitterness has a place of growth in our lives, we will not be able to access the grace of God that is so important for us in every situation. And it's this grace of forgiving that we need to remember. And I want you to understand tonight as we look at verse 14, first of all, concerning this remembering to forgive, I want you to see that forgiveness will always pursue peace. Forgiveness always pursues peace. Notice if you would in verse 14 again, follow peace with all men and holiness. And I want to remind you tonight that God has been the one that has pursued us. Do you see His forgiveness for us has pursued us in peace? He wants us to be at peace with Him. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. And we can't do that as long as we are in our sin. But God in His grace has pursued us because that's what grace does. The grace of forgiveness pursues peace. It follows after it. It follows hard. It doesn't get distracted. And I know today there's a lot of people that are walking around this world that have a lot of burdens and cares and unforgiveness in their heart. You don't have to drive down the road very far and you'll find that. You don't have to interact with people very much and you'll see it. Sometimes it may be even on your own heart. But I'll tell you tonight, a Christian who has not learned the grace of forgiving and the reminder to forgive is not accessing properly God's grace in that situation. And Paul was reminding them of that. Listen, you need to be careful because there may be some bitterness that would spring up in your heart regarding your past. But that will hinder the grace of God and that will not allow God's grace to accomplish what it needs to. I'll tell you tonight that without the forgiveness, the grace of forgiving, you will not have the peace of God in your heart. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of people. I remember one person in particular from years ago. I remember that he had been called into the ministry. And I remember that he had expressed that very clearly and that God had dealt with his heart in that. And he had placed his purpose and his heart in that matter of the calling of God into the ministry. But lo and behold, life kind of got away from him. And he didn't go away from the Lord. He just kind of got busy with work and got busy with family and got busy with career. And now he's probably, up at the age of, he's about retirement age now. And I know, I'll tell you right now, he's not a terrible person, but you can tell the peace of God doesn't rule in his heart. And I'm not saying that in a judgmental way. I'm not saying that in a bitter way. I'm saying that I think it's because that this man did not allow the grace of God to rule in his heart. And there were some hurts in the past. And that's kind of the point of the illustration. Some things got into his life. Some people got into his life that were really hurtful. And they caused some unforgiveness, some bitterness. And that root, I think, was what kept him from really kind of taking that next step for the Lord. And it's unfortunate, but you could see it on his face. You could see it in his demeanor. You could see it in his pattern of life. And I just hurt because I know that the peace of God doesn't rule because of the fact that God's grace in forgiveness was not there. Because he didn't access it. Because he didn't remember to forgive. Romans chapter 14 and verse 19 says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. And things therewith one may edify another." Boy, I'm thankful today that our religion, and I use that term loosely this evening, but I'm glad that our religion is a religion of peace. Aren't you glad about that? You know, we're not called to go and, you know, conquer lands and take people's heads off and, you know, lie and cheat and steal so that we can make our religion something that people see. We're not called to do that. You know what we're called to do? We're called, as Romans chapter 14 says, that we need to make peace. We need to do things that will follow after peace. And I'm telling you tonight that according to our passage, that it's the forgiveness that pursues peace. You'll never have peace without forgiveness. You know that in your heart. You know when you've been wronged by someone or someone has wronged you, there's not peace there, is there? There's turmoil, there's difficulty, there's misunderstanding, there's hurt feelings. I understand that, but I want you to say tonight, I'm going to remember to forgive because that's the grace that God has given to us. 3 John 11, "Beloved, follow not after that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." And I say tonight again that God has pursued after us. He wants us to be at peace with him. And I find that in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Listen, the Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith." Who justified us? That's the Lord Jesus. Amen. God did that through his Son. And notice it says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful tonight that the Lord Jesus pursued his way of peace. He pursued peace in my life, and it was through forgiveness. What a blessing. I'm thankful for the grace of God in our life that pursues peace. If you do not have the Lord Jesus as your Savior, let me tell you tonight, you do not have peace. You may be peaceful right now, but you don't have peace in your heart. Because it's the forgiveness of God through our Lord Jesus Christ that gives you peace in your heart. And my friend tonight, you can have that peace if you'll just open your heart to him and you'll understand your sin against an almighty God and you'll open your heart to ask God to forgive you and to receive you. The Bible says that he has justified you by faith through Jesus Christ. You need to receive that gift. And I'm thankful for that. Forgiveness always pursues peace, but bitterness brings turmoil and trouble in our lives. And so I want to remind you tonight to pursue peace. But I want you to understand tonight also that forgiveness defeats bitterness. Forgiveness defeats bitterness. Notice, if you would, the Bible says in verse 15 again, "Lest any root of bitterness springing up." I've used this illustration before. I want to use it again. That oftentimes what we do is we go out and we'll cut something down and we'll just take it off at the ground, you know, and cut it down. I know you used to do that when I was weeding for my dad, you know. And, "Dad, I weeded for you." And he said, "Okay, well, that's good. Did you get the roots?" And, "Yeah, well, we tried, you know, we did our best. They were hard, Dad." And it wouldn't be long before those old roots were right up in the same place again. Why? Because the root was still down there. You know, we've got a bush at our house, and it's the same thing. We about behind the shop there, there's a bush that I've cut down about four times, and I've been lazy because I didn't cut it to the root. I just cut it off. Oh, that killed it. Next year, twice as big. I mean, that root's just sitting there. That bush is sticking its tongue out at me the whole summer long. I know it. All I'm saying, you tried, but you didn't get it. Why? Because I didn't get the root. And oftentimes, that's the problem in our lives. But I want you to understand that bitterness that is often below the surface, and we can nip it off and we can cut it off, but unless we dig down deep and look diligently into our hearts, we will never have victory over that bitterness. But I'll tell you tonight that forgiveness defeats bitterness. Forgiveness defeats bitterness. Notice the Bible says in Ephesians 4 and verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And verse 32, the verse we know so well, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Listen, tonight, I want to remind you that we need to look diligently. And oftentimes we'll say, well, I'm not bitter, and I've been there myself. I'm not bitter about that. But when that person's name is mentioned, or when that circumstance comes around again, or when that thought comes into my mind, I find myself angry. Or I find myself maybe hurt, or, and I understand that. It's a human emotion. It's right. But I'll tell you tonight, God's formula, as we find in Hebrews chapter 12, the grace of God that's available to us is available through the forgiveness that defeats bitterness. And I'll say again, I don't know what it is often in your life that has caused something, but I'll tell you the formula is always the same. Praise the Lord for that. And if you're willing to avail yourself of the grace of God, let me tell you, it's available. And if you're not, and we fail to avail ourselves of that grace that God has given to us, then we are, as the Bible says, failing to appropriate in the grace of God. And so I'm thankful. Notice again that word, looking diligently. I want to just emphasize that again before I move on. That doesn't mean a casual glance into our heart. And it doesn't even mean once in a while looking very carefully. Looking diligently is the verb that means to continue doing that all the time. It's the verb that means always and never without ceasing, never ending. We're always looking for anything that would cause the littlest root of bitterness to spring up in our heart. And Paul is teaching, the author of Hebrews is teaching here, listen, look diligently. Why? Because that root of bitterness will nullify the grace of God in your life. That bitterness will cause God's grace not to be accessible to you. You will be on your own. You will not have God's help in that circumstance because of that bitterness of that root of bitterness. God is helping us to understand tonight that the way to victory over bitterness is through forgiveness. And so I want to encourage you. We find an example here in verse number 16. Lest there be any fornicator. Now that's a strong word. We often apply that word to moral or immoral lifestyle or behavior. And it is definitely that. But we find Esau as a spiritual fornicator. In other words, he took that which was holy and right and appropriate, and he used it in a wrong way. And he did that with his birthright. Do you remember that story? Esau and Jacob, Jacob being the younger, but God promised that the younger will serve the older. I'm sorry, the older will serve the younger. That's the way it was. And we find Esau that one day, he went out to hunt, and he came in and he was famished. And I mean, he was just starving to death. Let me tell you something. Oftentimes when we feed our flesh and we live by our flesh, we tend to exaggerate things, don't we? And Esau was saying, man, I'm about to die. Sounds like a young person, teenager, right? I got to have something to eat right now. It's like, okay, you're going to be okay, you know. I've seen people who are truly starving, and you don't look like that. So here's the thing. Esau, in his flesh, though he was a man of God, you know, he lived in a good family, he was controlled by his flesh, and he put first something that shouldn't have been put first, to the point where he sold his birthright. I mean, the blessing that God had given to him as the firstborn for a bowl of pottage. Whatever it is. Now, Jacob wasn't right in conniving for that. We know that. But we also know that Esau was the one, the Bible says, was a fornicator, a profane man. Why? Because he took that which was sacred and right, and he relegated to the realm of commonplace, some sort of a bartering chip that he could get something temporal for. And I'm telling you tonight that that's the way many of us live. Notice it says there, the spiritual fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. I'll tell you tonight, Christian, that oftentimes we're willing to give up our whole Christian life, and we're willing to sacrifice the will of God for our life, and we're willing to sacrifice our family for the fact of some profane and something simple or something commonplace. May God help us to keep the true things right and to defeat bitterness with forgiveness in our lives. Because without that, we cannot have the grace of God, as Esau did not have God's grace. And so we learn, number one, that forgiveness pursues peace. We learn, number two, that forgiveness defeats bitterness. And I want to remind you again that the grace for remembering is the reminder for us that we are to forgive. And I hope that that's a lesson that we can learn tonight. We could say much more about it, but look at number two if you would. Notice in verse number 18, we find number two, the remembering grace is a remembrance or a reminder to focus. To focus. Now get this if you would, and I'm going to describe this. Verse 18, it says, "For we are not come to the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of the trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore." And I'm going to skip down. "But ye," verse 22, "are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." Now, I'm going to stop there for a minute. Let me describe what's going on here. The author of Hebrews is saying, listen, Hebrews, Jews, we're not come to the mountain that you think of. Let me ask you a question. Somebody tell me, what mount was he talking about in verse 18 that burned with fire and there was the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words? Mount Sinai. Remember that? When Moses was up on the mountain and he was receiving the Ten Commandments. Do you remember what God said about that? Set a boundary about that mountain, and nobody better go and touch that mountain lest they die. And even if an animal came up to that mountain and approached it, they were to be shot through with a dart. Why? That mountain was holy. You don't get close to it. You don't go and touch it. This is a holy God, and we don't go there. That represents the Old Testament, doesn't it? Oh, the sacredness of the law. By the way, that's not done away in the New Testament. It's fulfilled. But that was a separation. There was a divide there. And the Jews had a tendency to look back to that which they had been saved out of. Do you see the application? They had a tendency to look back to Mount Sinai. But Paul is reminding them to focus in verse 22 on which mountain? Yeah, Mount Sion, which is Mount Calvary, that's the mountain of victory. That's the mountain of life. Notice the Bible says in verse 22, "unto the city of the living God." Now that's the polar opposite from what we talked about in the Old Testament. There's the mountain that if you touch, you're going to die. And then there's the mountain that we approach, and it is the part of the city of the living God. Do you see the blessing there? And Paul is saying, listen, Christian, you're not a Jew anymore that looks back to Mount Sinai for the law to live under it. We're looking forward. We're looking to what Jesus has done on Mount Zion. What a blessing. The city of life, the place where God gave His Son. And now because of that, there is life for all who believe. That's the reminder to focus on those things. The Jewish audience is pointed from the traditions of the Old Testament to the truths of the New Testament. And I want to just help us tonight. Church, we may not be looking back to Mount Sinai as our stumbling block, but let me tell you, sometimes we look back to the things that we were saved out of. And any person that's looking back, let me tell you, they're not going straight ahead. They're not going to go the way that they're supposed to go. They're going to be heading backwards. And I want to just help us today that we focus on what is true, what's ahead of us. And God is, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit again, encouraging us to focus on that which is in front. Forgiving that which is behind. That's what the Bible talks about in the first point, remembering to forgive. But also we need to remember, if we're going to have grace, the grace of God, we need to remember to focus on what's right and true. Number one, what do we focus on? I think we need to focus on heaven. We need to focus on heaven. Notice what the Bible says in verse 22 there. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God. And notice what it says there. The heavenly Jerusalem. Let's say that together. The heavenly Jerusalem. Now, the heavenly Jerusalem is obviously talking about that city that the Lord Jesus is building for us. The Revelation tells us is going to come out of heaven, and it's adorned as a bride for the bridegroom. And what a beautiful heaven, what a beautiful place that will be. The Bible describes it and in all of its glory. And I may not be able to see and understand all of it, but let me tell you something today. Heaven is a beautiful place. Heaven is a wonderful place. And the Bible says we need to keep our focus on our destination. Keep your focus on where you're heading. Listen, not where you came from, not what's behind, but keep your focus on heaven. I'll tell you, it's such an encouragement to understand when the difficulties of life come around. Isn't it a blessing to be able to focus on the fact that Jesus is coming again and we're going to be with Him in heaven? What a blessing. Oh, man, I just can't. Whenever I think about it, it just makes me thrilled. And I'm thankful for that. Some days you just feel like, Lord, I just want to go there. I just want to be there. But you know what? The key is here. Listen, church, that according to Paul, our focus needs to be as if we're already there. We keep our focus on Mount Zion that's been accomplished by the Lord Jesus. But listen, we need to keep our focus on the fact that we are really considered to be in heaven right now. Why are we living like we're members of some old nature? Why do we go about all the things that we used to do? Why are we concerned about all the things that drag us down? There's things we need to do in life to keep, you know, life going. I need to eat and sleep and work and pay bills. But I'll tell you right now, my focus and your focus needs to be in the future, in heaven. That's where we're heading. Keep your focus on your destination. Understand, keep that at the front of your mind. Let's keep our focus on the fact that Jesus has made it for us. And I'm thankful for that tonight. The Christian's destination is heaven. And that's where we need to keep our focus. That's where we need to keep our mindset. Man, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you get in a car for the trip. Men, you tell me, and I mean, I resonate with you here, that it's a mission, isn't it? You got someplace to go and you're going to get there. And I'm going to conquer that road. And we were leaving camp, and one of the things about that he says about camp, he says, guys, I know, you know, as you get ready to leave, you want to conquer the road, you want to get home. And there's people out on the road right now that you got to get in front of to get home. I know that. But just please take your time and get all your possessions out of here. You know, don't leave anything behind. I think that's a perfect fitting type of description for us. We want to conquer that because we've got a mission. And, man, you got the GPS there, and it says you're going to get there in an hour, 20 minutes. I know I can make it an hour and 10. And so, you know, and I think this is quicker and this is better. And, oh, we're not stopping. No, we're going to go. And I tell you, it's a mission to get there. Let me tell you why. Because you're focused on the future, aren't you? You're focused on your destination. I know what it is. And sometimes I got to be reminded. My wife says, honey, it's okay. We just take your time. Let's just go and enjoy the ride. And sometimes I can't. Man, is that against my nature. Wow. I just cannot relax. Now, I'll tell you, why is it different than as Christians? Why is that any different? Why don't we have such a focus of our destination that really nothing else matters? I'm not going to take a pit stop. I'm not going to worry about stopping. I'm going to get there. You know, I'm going to keep my focus on it. You know, we just forget about it sometimes. Listen, I want to encourage you, as the Apostle Paul or the author of Hebrews reminds the Hebrews, to keep your focus on your destination. Keep your focus on heaven. And I'll say today, that's where our eyes need to be. But not only that, I want to just remind you as well, look at verses 23 and 24. Kind of an interesting description here. But notice he says there, to the general assembly in the church of the firstborn, referring to those who are saved and that are with the Lord in heaven at the coming of the Lord, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Notice the Bible says not only do we need to focus on heaven, but I want to remind you tonight that we need to keep our focus on Jesus himself. I need to remind you that Hebrews 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 25, the Bible says that we need to keep our focus on Jesus. We need to keep our focus on that which He has done. Listen, I know heaven is going to be a beautiful place, and I'm thankful for that. I just can't wait to get to heaven. And I know there's going to be people in heaven that I'm going to know and we're going to fellowship with, praise the Lord. And we're going to see Peter and Paul, and we're going to see all the saints of the Old Testament, and we're going to see all those wonderful saints that have gone on before us that I've known personally, praise the Lord. But let me tell you something today. The best thing to remember is that we are going to see the Lord Jesus when we get to heaven. Now, church, I don't know if that excites you tonight or not. I'm thankful for the amens. But just get a hold of that for a minute. The one who died for us, the one who gave his life for us, the one who felt every pain, the one who knows all of our troubles and sorrows, the one who's with us every step of the way, that's the one we're going to behold when we get to heaven. Keep your focus on the Lord Jesus. Keep your eyes upon him. And I understand tonight the greatest truth that we have in this passage tonight is not that we're going to see other saints and we're not going to see those that have gone on before us. That's not the greatest truth. I'm thankful for all those, but the greatest truth is that we are going to see Jesus Himself. The author of the hymn wrote it this way: Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me. You know that hymn? You know what it is? There was another poem. I'm not going to read it tonight, but the poem that was written by a man, he says, I'm paraphrasing. I don't really know what's going to be in heaven. I know what the Bible says, but we really don't know. But here's what I know. I know that Jesus is going to be in heaven, and that's who I'm going to see. Do you remember Fanny Crosby? Fanny Crosby was a blind hymn writer, and she wrote many poems that were put to music. And she wrote the poem, "When my life's work is ended and my work on earth is done, and I cross the swelling tide," and she says that Jesus will be the first one that I shall see. In other words, her hope, her desire, her goal, her focus was on the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you something tonight, church, that if we're going to access the grace of God, I know it sounds simple and man, there's multiple applications in a person's life. But if you can keep this main focus in your life, keeping your eyes on the Lord Jesus, looking at Him, it will allow God's grace to flow through very difficult times. I don't know what that's going to mean in every application. I don't know what it's going to mean in every circumstance. All I know is this, that God has promised that if we keep our eyes on Him, His grace will be available to us. I take you back to Peter on the water. Remember that? I preached the message, keeping our eyes on the Lord, looking unto Jesus. Peter looked at Jesus on the water and he was able to walk to Jesus on the water until he took his eyes off of Jesus. His focus got distracted. You know what happened then? He began to drown, sink. Jesus came and rescued him. But I'll tell you tonight, the grace to be able to accomplish that in Peter's life was accomplished by keeping his focus on Jesus. The grace that you will have to get through difficult times will be allowable in your life. It will be accessible in your life as we keep our eyes on the Lord. Too often, God's the first one to go. Jesus is the first one to go when we're in circumstances and trials. He ought to be the one we're keeping our eyes on. And so the Bible calls Him the mediator of the new covenant. And what a blessing. Here, I want to just take a moment, if I can. There was an Old Testament. The Old Testament, obviously part of the Bible there, that dealt with the history of God's working on this earth before the Lord Jesus. But it has a deeper meaning. The Old Covenant, the Old Testament, was all about the law. And there were sacrifices that had to be made and blood that had to be sprinkled. And there were laws that had to be kept. And there were, you know, all kinds of things that went along with this Old Covenant. Boy, what a burden it was. The Bible talks about it being grievous and it being heavy. And you know, Jesus comes and He fulfills everything in the Old Covenant. I mean, He does it all. He keeps it to the T and everything is done and it's satisfied. And the Bible calls Him now the mediator of the New Testament. Boy, I tell you, that's what we call the age of grace. Now, there's a big misunderstanding, and I've been very clear on this. The age of grace doesn't mean the age of, hey, I can do whatever I want. That's what a lot of people think. That's a misunderstanding. I think it's the great doctrinal misunderstanding of this day when it comes to Christian living. But I'll tell you today, that age of grace that we're living in is such a wonderful thing that we now can live in freedom, in liberty, through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not under the Old Testament, under the old law. I'm under the New Covenant, the New Testament, Jesus said, in His blood. What a blessing to be able to understand tonight that we, as believers, can keep our focus on the mediator of the new covenant, the New Testament, and have freedom in Him. I'll tell you, my friend, that is grace. And the amazing grace is this ability to be able to remember to focus not only on heaven, but on the Lord Jesus Christ. So number one, I said we have a reminder to forgive. To see God's grace, we have a reminder to forgive, verses 15 and 16. But also, we have a reminder to focus. We have a reminder to focus on heaven. We have a reminder to focus on Jesus. But lastly tonight, I want to give you this last remembrance. And we find that in verse 25. We find that the grace that is accessible to us is really encapsulated in this remembrance to fear the Lord. A reminder to fear the Lord. Look, if you would, at verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. Wow. That sounds like a good old warning, doesn't it? See that you do this. Have you ever been told that before? That means it better get done. Right? This is not something you want to forget and say, oops, you know, I forgot. No, no. See, the Bible says, that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall not ye escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? If they wouldn't believe Jesus on earth, how much more difficult is it going to be from him that speaketh from heaven to us if we refuse? See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. Notice, if you would, whose voice then shook the earth. But now hath he promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the heaven only, but also the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And all of you should understand tonight, church, that there is a reminder to fear the Lord. If we're going to have the grace of God, let me tell you something tonight. You better have the fear of God in your heart. That is, you better understand that God means what he says. Because the last verse of the chapter says, God is a what? Consuming fire. Let's all say that together. God is a? I'm telling you tonight, he's not somebody to mess with. He's not somebody just to say, oh, I didn't hear that. Or I forgot, or I'm not sure I really understood. No, the Bible teaches us that we need to remember to fear. I see, number one, we need to remember to fear his voice. Did you see in verse 25, him that speaketh ought not to be refused. I'll tell you today, my friend, that if you want the grace of God, you better listen to what God's talking to you about. Young person, listen to me tonight. You have God's grace in your life if you will follow what he's saying to you. If you will do what God is saying to you, God's grace will flow, because that's the remembrance to fear him that God is talking about, Hebrews chapter 12. Young person, tonight, God may be calling you to do something courageous. He might be calling you to do something drastic. He might be calling you to give up your life to do something, or to say, God, you can do whatever you want with my life. I'm saying tonight, don't refuse God. Mom and dad, God may be calling you to something. His voice may be speaking to you. There may be something that God's trying to tell you tonight. Let me tell you tonight, see that ye refuse not God. Because the grace of God that we desire, that we pray for, that we want in our lives, that is strengthening us, is only available when we fear God and we don't refuse his voice. You want God's grace, but you don't want to obey. You want God's grace, but we don't want to listen to what he says. It doesn't happen. God's reminding us here. Listen, the remembering grace is this idea of remembering that when God says something, we need to do it. Church, if there's a Holy Spirit prompting in your heart, don't just neglect that as some thought or some weird thing, or that's just what they think. Let God work in your heart. And if he's calling you to do something, do it. That's where the grace of God is found. Too often we do our own thing and walk into our own paths, and then we expect God's grace to be there for us. No, we've already failed of the grace of God because we haven't accessed it through fearing his voice, listening to his voice. So tonight, church, number one, we need to remember to fear his voice. And I mean fear not in the sense of being afraid, but in the sense of reverence. This is important. If someone gave you the phone and you heard the words, stand by for the President of the United States, very unlikely that you would have something else going on at that moment in time. Right? I mean, I don't care what you think about the President of the United States. To have a personal phone call from him, that's a pretty big deal. I don't think we'd be hanging up or, you know, I've got something else to do. I'm busy. Tell him I'm making a cake right now. I'm sorry. You know, I'm mowing the lawn. I just can't talk to him. No, we give reverence. Why? Because of a position. And I'll tell you tonight, we need to do that 100 times, 1,000 times more with the Lord. May God help us not to be busy when he's calling us. May God help us not to be neglectful and deaf when God's trying to speak to us. because God's grace is in the listening of his voice, the reverence of what he says. But then notice, not only in the reverence of his voice, but in the remembering of his commands. In verse 28, for we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. I'm saying tonight that God's grace comes when we fear God in this matter of remembering his commandments. And I know that sounds simple, but let me just say tonight, church, in light of the message this morning, where we need to be right with God, let me just encourage you tonight that you remember and you respect and reverence the commandments of God. Young person, I feel very burdened tonight, once again, that you understand that God's commandments are for you. But they're not just commandments. I have to do this. No, remember, the context we're talking about, they are the ticket. They are the door to God's grace. Remembering and hearing his voice is a door to God's grace in your life. Following his commandments is a door that opens God's grace in our life. You know, we want God to help us, and we want God's strength to be able to do things that we want to do, but yet we're not going to go through the door of obedience. I'll tell you, it's not going to happen. And we want God's grace, and why isn't God helping me, and he's not doing what I think he should do? No, we need to look at ourselves. You see, God's grace, again, I said, will never fail us, but we fail of the grace of God. Don't neglect his voice. Don't neglect his commandments. Because, again, those are the avenues of God's grace. So in closing tonight, we talked about the remembering grace, the reminder to forgive. Amen. We talked about the reminder, the remember, that we need to remember to focus on the future, focus on what God has given us, the destination, focus on the Savior. Then we reminded ourselves that we need to remember to fear God. Remember to fear God, and those things open up the grace of God in our lives. I just want to encourage you tonight, church. I remember a story real quick. I'm going back to this matter of focus. There was a guy golfing, and he wound up. You golfers know what I'm going to talk about, all except for Brother Starr. He's too good of a golfer for this. But he wound up, and he reared back, and just about the time he swung, he stood up a little bit. He completely missed the ball. I mean, whiffed that ball. There was a ant's nest or an ant hill there, and he took the top off that ant hill, you know, and killed a couple dozen ants. And took a step back. He's going to do it again. He did the same thing, took more of that ant hill out. Finally, there's only a couple ants left in there, and one ant said to another one, looks like the only way we're going to survive is to get on the ball. I tell you, I think there's a lot of truth in that little story. I think sometimes the only way we're going to survive as a Christian, we're going to have grace. We need to get on the ball. We need to get focused on what God has called us to do. Now, church, listen. Would you tonight just determined? I believe that every time you hear the Word of God, every time we hear the Bible open, that we need to make a decision. I want to just bring you to that point of decision right now. Would you just determine, number one, that I'm going to remember to forgive? Because I'll tell you again, forgiveness is the key that unlocks the grace of God in our lives. Number two, remember to focus. Keep heaven, your destination, in your focus. Keep the Lord Jesus the focus of your life. You get in difficulty, keep your focus on him. That's going to be the key that unlocks the grace in your life. Number three, remember to fear. Fear God's voice. And I mean fear, not in the sense that we're afraid, or, ooh, don't talk to me. We're fearful in the sense that we're respecting, we're honoring what God says. See that ye refuse not, verse 25 says. And so we need to fear his voice, and we need to fear his commandments. Obey them. They are what opens the grace of God in our lives. You see, there's a remembering grace, isn't there? And the remembering grace is these three aspects that we find in Hebrews 12. Remembering those areas of our life that allow God's grace to accomplish such great things. Be careful, church, because we can fail of that grace. Too often we leave the door shut, we go a different way. God's grace is not available to us. I pray tonight that will be the decisions of our heart. No matter what that application might be, let's decide that that's going to be our heart. Let me say again, salvation is available to any person. And it's available by the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. And I'll just say today that it's available to you. Don't fail of that grace either. Let God's grace, who has died for you, He has given you a hope for forgiving your sins. The only way for your sins to be forgiven is what Jesus did on the cross. And the Bible says it's the gift of God, and you just need to reach out and receive it. Are you willing to do that tonight? But today may be the day of salvation. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be reminded to, in every situation, Lord, to forgive, to focus, and to fear. Lord, You've given that as a reminder to those Hebrews, but Lord, it's so applicable to us today. I pray, Lord, tonight that You would help us in that as we walk faithfully with You, Lord. We desire grace. We need it. And Lord, Your grace is available to us. You commanded us to grow in it. And now, Lord, we've learned keys that will help us to access that grace. And Lord, tonight, I pray that we put that into practice in our lives tonight. Areas where we failed, areas where we failed of the grace of God, I pray that we might make that right with You tonight. We might find victory in that. In Jesus' name we pray.